Hi, this is Marsha, founder of the Trifecta Tribe, an organization that helps queer women of color to fall in love with themselves, their lives, and their purpose. I'm here with Leticia, aka Purposefully LJ, that's her Twitter handle, and she's a reproductive justice and faith organizer in DC who's doing amazing work not only with reproductive justice, but also thinking about how to bridge the gap between spirituality and sexuality, in particular for queer women. She is currently in seminary, and how I found out about her is she's been doing an amazing job chronicling her seminary journey under the hashtag Queer Seminarian. Thanks so much for being here with us, Leticia.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited and humbled to talk to you today.
Awesome. Thanks. How long have you two been together? And do you feel like this is a lifelong partnership? Because you seem so in love and so ready to be, you know, the lesbian power couple.
Yes. Okay. So, we have officially, I guess, been together since January of this year. Which is not very long, I think, people. But we already know in lesbian years, that's like...
It's oh my gosh, it's a lifetime.
Like that.
What do you mean? Like, you guys are grandparents. So you guys are grandparents of the community already.
So we met last September. At a conference, actually. Very, very gay. We met at Out on the Hill, which is National Black Justice Coalition's annual conference that they have. And we actually met on the Wednesday of the conference, but didn't really interact. But what we'd like to say is that our souls recognized each other. Because we didn't exchange words. We didn't speak. But we had an interaction. And then 4 days later on Saturday was the first time we actually exchanged words. And what was interesting about that was that Saturday was the last day of the conference. And Wednesday was the first day of the conference. And so on Saturday, we ended up in this circle of people who were talking about soulmates and what soulmates are and what they look like and what does it mean to have a soulmate. And I was talking to someone, and she approached the conversation, and you know, someone brought her up to speed, and I had been going. I was going in on something. And she gave me this look, and I was like, why is this woman looking at me like this? And it was because everything I was saying, she was thinking it. And then she started talking, and she was giving her two cents, and literally everything she said, it was like I have the thought, and then she said it. I was like, okay, this is weird. I don't understand what's happening. But in that moment, we had that recognition. She and I believe in twin flames.
Tell me about that concept. Yeah.
So we believe that soulmates are people that, you know, you were made with, right? We don't believe that anyone was made in isolation. So we also believe in raging against the machine and challenging gender binaries. We also believe that everyone was made with both male and female energy within them. And so when you're made, you could have been made in a pair, you could have been made in a three, in a, you know, however many people, that there are people who share parts of your soul. And that, with this masculine and feminine energy that, you know, maybe you were created with 30% masculine energy and 70% feminine energy, right? And whoever you created with has that match. That's your twin flame. That person who completes you in that way. It completes your energies. So in which case, it doesn't matter what package it comes in, right? It's just that however that person is completing the rest of your soul. And I believe that she's my twin flame. So to answer your second question, do I think that this is for the long haul? Yes. She is my everything. She is my support system, my love, my best friend, all those qualities and things that people say you need to have in this little checklist. Yeah, all those. and I know for a lot of people, they're looking at this like, y'all haven't been together for very long. I'm aware, you know, they make fun of us. They're like, typical lesbians, just you hauling. I promise. but she completes me in every way. Before this interview, I was freaking out a little bit. I was a little nervous. And I FaceTimed her. And I was like, babe, can we go through the questions one more time? Stop it. You're phenomenal. You're going to be fine. It's going to be great. And I wanted to get her opinion because of this question. I said, well, she's going to ask about our relationship. You know, what do I have your permission to share? And she looked at me and she goes, I trust you. I trust the work that we've done in our relationship. And I know that you'll represent us well.
Oh. Oh. All right. Tear, tear, trickle, trickle down here. So what have you, what is the work that you've done in your relationship? You know, if you can give us maybe two or three guidelines of things that you've implemented in your relationship with your partner that have been really helpful in making sure it's successful.
Yeah. So the first thing is that we're constantly in a courtship. Before we started dating, she asked if she could court me. And so we've been courting ever since, and our primary principle is that the courting never ends. You know, we're in an official relationship now, whether we get married, you know, when we have kids, whatever, the courting will never end. Because it keeps that newness, right? There will always be dates. There will always be intrigue and surprises and excitement. And that's what that courtship process is all about. And it also holds us to the standard of not getting lazy with one another. With acknowledging the fact that, okay, yes, you met me at this point in my life. However, I may change 5 years from now. And so with the courtship process, it's okay, that's fine, because I'm always getting to know you. I'm never going to stop getting to know you. Know what that journey looks like. So that's one. Two is we argue like diplomats. And what I mean by that is, if anyone were to ever hear us arguing, they think that they'd walked into a court briefing. We try in everything that we do to always be respectful of one another, right? Does that mean that we don't get angry or that we don't yell? No. But what it means is that we create safe spaces to uphold one another's feelings and validate one another's feelings. And so we lay ground rules. We say, we're going to try really hard not to yell. If I yell, I apologize in advance. Know that it doesn't mean I don't love you any less. I'm just, or whatever. But we give each other that room to be human. And it's a beautiful thing, right?
And it sounds like you're also like putting the relationship ahead of the argument, you know, like making sure that you're staying connected even while the argument is moving forward.
Exactly. Her favorite thing to tell me, and it was a harder process for me because of, you know, past issues. We all come with baggage, but we work very hard around doing the work to clear our baggage, to prepare ourselves for one another, and making sure that, you know, we were coming in to our relationship with that baggage cleared. But, you know, there are always things that linger from your past. And so for me, that notion of arguments not being the end of the world.
Right.
Not for her. For her, it was, I mean, I can be arguing with you and I'm thinking about, you know, what you're going to look like walking down the aisle. And that's exactly what it is. It's putting the relationship ahead of the argument, right? Mm-hmm. Just arguing doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. People argue. It means that in this moment, you are getting on my nerves.
Right.
That's all it means. 5 minutes from now, I'm going to want to kiss your face. Like, this is all it is, mm-hmm. right? Our relationship is stronger than an argument. And I guess the final thing is, before we did work around consent in our relationship. And that was something that was very big for us. And something that she wanted really to do, especially, with my being a survivor. And so, part of our courtship process was, you know, getting tested and having an elongated consent conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Consent looks like for us. What does that mean? And that's something that I think is very, very poignant, especially in queer women of color relationships, because so many of us have experienced sexual trauma,
mm-hmm.
And so many of us don't have the language to say what we want.
Right.
Especially because when we were perceived to be straight little black girls and brown girls, we were told to be pure and chaste and to not talk about sex.
Mm-hmm. But I think there's also an assumption within the queer women of color community, or maybe the queer women in general community, that because we are women, we somehow understand this intrinsically better than men might.
No.
And it's like, no, you still need to communicate about this. We're still individuals who need to talk about what we need.
Talk about your needs and your wants and your desires.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta articulate it. It needs to be articulated.
Mm-hmm.
You're not mind readers. Yes, women's intuition is a fabulous, fabulous thing. However, we are not omniscient. We are not mind readers.
Mm-hmm.
Still needs to be communicated.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And so, again, the consent conversation is ongoing. You know, things might change. And so we always leave the room open. Open lines of communication.
Mm.
Before we go to bed every night, we do what's known as HLI.
Mm.
I really hope she doesn't kill me for sharing our secrets, but...
Sounds like it's a good one. All right, I'm ready. HLI.
And HLI is highlight, lowlight, if you can change one thing.
Mm.
And so what that does is it gives us room to reflect on the day,
mm-hmm.
and to basically clear things from the day before we go to sleep, mm-hmm. and so that we don't take them into the next day.
So is this clearing things between each other only, or is it just...
No, it's just in general. So, I'll give you an arbitrary one. So I could say that my highlight for the day was that I got a really great review from my supervisor. Right? That was awesome. My low light for the day was that I missed something really important that happened for you because, you know, I was at work and I couldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
If I could change one thing, there would be more hours in the day so that I could spend more time with you.
Mm.
Something like that. But it really can be about whatever. And what it has helped us do is, let's say that there's something that happens between us. You know, she does something that annoys me or I do something that annoys her, but we're not in a place or a position that we can address it right then and there, we table it and we bring it up during HLI, and that's our time to kind of say, okay, so earlier when you did this, and we clear the baggage.
Mm-hmm.
And it does help to minimize on arguments and different things like that, because if something happens, you know, it's giving you that time to reflect and to calm down and to not approach it from, you know, this place of raw emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Out of a place that, you know, okay, I've had time to reflect on this and be calm about it, and I can speak about it in a rational way.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. That's a really, really great tool.
It is. It's awesome.
Did you guys make that up? Is there a source? Are you citing this? Can you cite a source for this tool?
Yeah, we made it up. We are the source.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it. And it sounds like there's also just, you know, an importance placed in your relationship on creativity, on being able to just create the things that you need to make it work.
So creativity, yeah, that's a huge part of our relationship. We both have very creative minds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a dancer, poet, spoken word person, and she's a painter, spoken word. So it's like creativity has lots of room in our relationship.
Thank you so much, LJ. I think we have all learned just amazing, amazing things from you today. So I'm so grateful for that you took the time to share.
I appreciate you having me. Honestly, I am very, very humbled by it. I think you are doing amazing work for queer women of color everywhere. Your site is fabulous.
Thank you so much. Radical Intimacy, folks, you can hear more about Letitia and her work on Twitter at PurposefullyLJ. Keep an eye out there because I know she's got a blog coming up soon and you're going to want to read everything that she's going to have to say. She also has written a few posts, she and her partner, about their relationship on elixirmagazine.com. That's a great resource for queer women of color. That's elixhermagazine.com. Well, I hope you're having a great day and that you look forward to seeing another email from the Radical Intimacy course in your inbox in the next couple of days. Bye.